I like fishing the redfish backwaters around here. It's just hard to find the time to do it, and it helps to have a boat. As it happens, I've only been out once properly, once since we've lived here. It was with a former school board member. He knew a guide and had a boat and invited me out. We had just started out that day when my hat blew off. It happens. It blew off my head as the boat sped up, disappearing quickly behind us. We could have stopped, of course. No one would have minded. But it flew to the far bank. It was sort of nestled up in a tree, and I knew that to get it, I was going to have to get out of the boat into deeper water, meaning I'd be wet the rest of the day. Now, Carol will tell you that I have no shortage of hats, so I just let it go. I thought it through, weighed the pros and cons, what's the big deal? Logic and the ingrained habit of convenience that I've developed over a comfortable life told me not to bother with the hat. Don't bother, I told the guide. I don't feel like getting out of the boat. Too hard to get. It'll be fine. Did I say that it was hot that day? And sunny? After that day of fishing, I had just about the worst sunburn on my head and my face that I've ever had. It was miserable. Of course, I should have gotten out of the boat. I should have hopped out, gotten wet, been uncomfortable, climbed the tree, and picked up the hat. I should have gotten out of the boat. And what's worse is that I should have known to get out of the boat because Peter got out of the boat in today's gospel reading. Now, Peter's getting out of the boat is a pretty significant thing. Think about it. The disciples are in the boat without Jesus. He was off praying or something like that. And the winds turn against them. The sea gets angry, as they say, and the boat is being battered by the waves. They've been blown far from shore. Altogether, not a pleasant situation. And then a ghost appears, coming toward them on the water. Probably in the disciples' mind, this does not make the situation better. But Jesus doesn't want them to get too upset. He doesn't want them to panic, so he says, "Don't worry, it's me. I'm walking over to you." And what happens next, as far as I can tell, is insane. Now, the logical thing, the reasonable thing, the thing to expect is for the disciples to wait for Jesus to come over. I mean, he's already on his way. And most of the disciples realize that. They're waiting in the boat for him. But not Peter. Peter says, "If that's you, Lord, let me come to you. Let me get out of the boat and walk over to you." Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, probably shrugs his shoulders, "Peter, if that's what you want to do, come on." And impetuously, possibly foolishly, Peter hops out of the boat, walks a few steps, falls into the water, and has to have Jesus fish him out again. Why did Peter get out of the boat? What was he thinking? Did he think he could walk on water? Was he out of his mind? You could think that. You could say that, except for one thing. Peter did walk on water. And maybe you say, well, only three or four steps before he fell in, but Peter says, that's a few more steps than you've ever walked on water. And he's got a point. Peter's three or four steps on the sea are monumental. Even in its brevity, it must have been awesome to experience, to have, even briefly, the faith, the resolve, the connection to Jesus, to walk on water. It's too much to even imagine. And here's the lesson, I think. You got to get out of the boat. Or let me put that another way. Real divine encounters require a move toward Christ that may involve risk. Real divine encounters require a move toward Christ that may involve risk. Peter's move was risky. How could he possibly have thought that he could walk on water? How could he have the courage to brave stormy seas? How could he have that level of trust in the one who was walking toward him on the water? Why didn't he just wait? The other disciples waited, safe and dry in the boat. But the Christian life isn't about staying dry, and the Christian life isn't about staying safe either. I mean, Peter had the option of waiting for Christ to come to him, but he chose to venture out, to risk a pretty big risk. And he got a pretty big payoff. He walked on water. And I've seen other Christians walk on water too, at least figuratively. I've seen Christian people encounter God so deeply that their lives are truly and powerfully changed. I've seen unsalvageable relationships mended. I've seen illness cured. I've seen prayers answered. And I've seen prophets and preachers born. I've seen Christians walk on water. At least I've seen them take a step or two. But let me tell you who I feel sorry for. I feel sorry for the disciples who stayed in the boat. Talk about missing out. And maybe I feel strongly about it because I can identify with them so easily. After all, I'm the guy who wouldn't get out of the boat to retrieve my hat. And that would have been only inconvenient, not risky. It is hard to take risks as a Christian. I think maybe we're even conditioned to wait in the boat. Wait on the Lord, we say. And that is a tried and true response. It's just not the only response. If what you seek is a life-changing encounter with the Lord who created heaven and earth, then I think Peter is telling you, you got to get out of the boat. You've got to risk. And the Christian life has plenty of risks available. You know what they are. Risking can be visiting a prison or a nursing home. Risking can be inviting a coworker to church. Risking can be making a phone call and apologizing first. Or a real risk, a big one. Risking can be tithing a true tithe of all that you've been given. All of these are sure ways to get out of the boat and seek out a divine encounter, instead of waiting for one to come to you. Yes, it is quite possible that you might get wet. But Jesus is waiting. He fished Peter out. He won't let you drown. And you might. You might even yourself walk on water. You never know. It's happened before.